book of John, chapter 5. It took me a while to figure this out, but I came to the conclusion one day that if you're going to preach and teach with the authority that God has vested in you, the authority is the Word of God. That's the authority. And when we stand upon it, when we rest in it, when we give forth its truth, that's the authority. And so tonight we can look at the authority. John chapter number 5. And I want to read verses 17 down to verse number 24 tonight. Verse number 17. And I'll read down to verse number 24. It says in verse number 17, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." What happened is he had healed a man on the Sabbath, and they were criticizing him. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Let me take you back to verse 23. Let's look at that again. "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you tonight. We can have in our hands this tremendous book we call the Bible. We thank you that you breathed it, you gave it to us, you preserved it, and that we can have this tonight, not in our hands, but in our hearts. God, I pray that you might bless the teaching and preaching of it. Oh, God, take these lips of clay, cause them to say that which will bring you glory and honor. And, Lord, that we might have thanksgiving full from our lips unto a God who is well deserving. Bless, we pray, in the things that are said here tonight, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Please go ahead and be seated. I've entitled the message tonight very simply this: Honoring God. Honoring God. If there was ever a group of people that ought to bring honor to God, it's those who have been redeemed. It's those who are saved. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Bring glory to Him. Give Him honor. I believe tonight we ought to give Him honor. We ought to glorify God simply because He is worthy. He is worthy. I don't know what we're worthy of, but God is worthy of great honor. He is worthy of all honor. I want you to think about it for a moment. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it says this, and what a great picture that is around the throne of God. And the worship is going on, and they're saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." God made it all. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy because, one, God is holy. He's a holy God. Holiness is really kind of outside our realm. We don't really probably understand it as we ought to. Actually, if we look in the mirror and think everything opposite, we might be getting close. If we think of ourselves and all the things that we do and maybe think of the opposite, we might be getting closer. He is holy. We are very unholy. The Bible says in Psalm 99, verse number 9, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Sounds like we ought to worship Him. We ought to honor Him. Why? Because God is holy. Another reason He's worthy is because He is full of mercy and truth. Consider this in Psalm 115, verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake." Mercy and truth. Mercy. Think about mercy for a moment. I like the difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. You deserve dying, go to hell. The mercy of God saves us from the punishment of our sin. The grace of God gives us what we don't deserve. Heaven. Mercy keeps us from hell. Grace gives us heaven. That's the way I differentiate that in my mind. And I look here and I see that God is merciful. God is gracious. We can put both of them together. And He deserves our honor because of it. God is faithful. God never ever lets us down. The Bible says, "I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." God is always true to us. God is faithful to us. We can depend upon Him. Now, we look at other people and people will let us down. We might have folks that are fairly faithful to us, but ultimately, everybody in this room is capable of letting people down, and we have. We're people. We're prone to sin, and we do not have total faithfulness. But our God does. He's faithful to us all the way. We also, as we find from our text here in verse number 22 and verse number 23, the reason He's talking about honor here in verse 23 is because the Father has given to the Son judgment. That's an odd one. We say He deserves honor because of judgment. Yes. Because of His holiness, because He cannot tolerate sin, He is to be honored because He is the one who will bring judgment upon all that which is evil and wrong. In the book of Ezekiel 28, verse 22, it says, listen to this. "Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Zidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgment her and shall be sanctified in her." Some folks never really understand the truthfulness of somebody until they have to come down hard. And then we can begin to honor. A lot of parents want to be buddies with their children. And as a result of being buddies with their children, they never become a strong disciplinarian, never exact the orders in the family, do not have that discipline that needs to be done. And so often their children do not have much honor to them. Many years ago, I had two young people in my youth group in Seattle. And one of them's name was, actually it was twin. There was Keith and Randy Head was their name. And then there was also Randy Blue. It was a brother Blue's son. And we had, matter of fact, the Heads had, they had a lot of little Heads. There was about eight kids. But here were these two twin boys. And Randy, they were all the same age. And I overheard them arguing one day. And they were arguing, they were proud of their dad. You know what they were arguing about? "My dad's tougher than your dad." They weren't talking about, "My dad can beat up your dad." They were talking about, "My dad has stronger discipline upon us than your dad." Yeah. And they were proud of their... Now, they didn't like it when discipline is exacted upon them. But they were glad because they knew that strong discipline means love. See? And so there was that honor that they were giving to their fathers. And you and I, we bring honor to God because of His judgments. We ought to... Listen, He's worthy because of that. He's worthy because He is our deliverer. Delivers us from sin, delivers us from trouble. He says, "I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify Me." Yeah. I tell you what, if you've been praying about something, you've asked God to take you through something, you've got through it, you know what happens afterwards? We begin to praise God and tell others about it. We glorify God for it. And just the way that it works. Well, I want to stop and ask a question tonight. We're to honor God. I think we all understand that. Amen. We're to honor Him because God is worthy. And He's worthy because of some things we mentioned here and many more things we could mention. But how can we bring honor to God? How can you and I, who are finite creatures, bring honor to an infinite one as God? How can you and I, who are sinful creatures, bring honor to a holy one? How can we do that? Well, listen, God in His Word has given us some thoughts. And so I'd like for us to stop and think about some of these tonight. And one of those is, with our words. With our words. How many have a talking dog? You might be able to understand a few things about that dog. But your dog would never say, I got a tummy ache and it's right here. Your dog might whine a little bit like he's sick, but you don't know where it's at. I was asking a veterinarian one day, I says, how in the world can you figure this out? I said, because you asked me. He'd now become a physician. And I went to a veterinarian for a while that had become a physician. I said, you can ask me and you interview me, ask you, how am I doing and what's hurting here and what's hurting there? But I said, you can't do that with a dog or a cat or a cow. We can't talk to them. Now, we've discovered that animals communicate to some degree, but not a great deal. God made man. We're not animals, by the way. God made man, and we have an ability that animals don't. One of those abilities is communication. We can express the feelings that are within us. We can talk about so many different things. We have the privilege through our words to communicate the thoughts of our hearts and our minds. We can transfer knowledge. I mean, we have so much that we can do with our words. Isn't that true? We have that ability. A chimpanzee can communicate a little bit, but not a great deal. Dolphins communicate a little bit, but not a great deal. Whales communicate over long distances. But not very much. It's not, hey Pedro, how's it going down there south of the border? You know? And he doesn't talk from down in the South Pacific to up to the North Pacific to Ole, you know, and asking him, you know, what's going on up there? But they have an ability to communicate, but not like that. You and I do. And one of the reasons God has allowed that for you and I believe, is that we might take the words that are available to us to speak of the glories and wonders and the beauties of God. Listen to this. In Psalm 71, verse 8 says, Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Again in chapter 107, verse 12, he says, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. The words that we speak can bring honor to God. And by the way, they ought to be words that come from a heart that is filled with that kind of emotion and care and concern about God. It ought to be words that out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Amen? Not that which is just words. But by our words we can express those things and communicate unto others and let others know of how we feel about God. But we can bring glory to God with our words. That's pretty obvious. But did you know you can bring glory to God with your substance? Wow. Think about this. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 9 simply says this, honor the Lord with thy substance. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. He said we can honor God with our substance. Did you ever stop and think about this? During the offering of a church service, it is a time of praise. It's a time where we're honoring God when we're giving to Him. Wow. It really is. I think it's a very important time in a church service as we're honoring God that we do it reverently. All too many times, God's people see it as an intermission. A time to talk and a time to jabber and so forth. But it ought to be a time where we're really thinking about, wow, what an opportunity I can give God honor through my substance. You know, we do that with people. You know, if there's somebody we want to honor, what do? We bring them a gift. I think of the Queen of Sheba. She came to Solomon and she brought him gifts. Solomon was the richest man in the world. I figured it up one time. When you look in the Word of God, you see what was coming into him. I mean, this guy was making several thousand dollars a minute. Well, it was in the National Treasury just much, but nonetheless, it was coming in. He was very, very wealthy. He didn't need what Queen of Sheba brought him. But the Bible records it. Why does it do that? It is showing to us she was bringing honor to him as a result of that. You and I, when we give gifts to people, what are we doing? We're giving them honor. Perhaps because they've achieved a particular goal in their life. We do that at birthdays. I mean, there's some people we give birthday gifts to because we thought they'd never make it that far. We figured somebody would kill them before then. Matter of fact, we thought of it ourselves. But we honor folks. And so you and I, what can we do? We can what? Give honor to God through that. By the way, when you and I do that as a Christian, we know that the gospel then is taken farther into our community and around the world as a result of that. And what's that doing? That's putting the name of Christ into the hearts and minds of other people. So not only with our words and with our substance, but think about this, with our works. The things that we do. In Matthew 5:16 it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When people see us doing good things, it can bring glory to God. Amen? Just say amen. It can bring glory to God. All that we are and all that we do is seen and known of others. Think what Paul said. He wrote to the Corinthians. He said, "Ye are our epistles written in our hearts." Listen to these words. "Known and read of all men." Wow. People see us. People hear us. Folks know. They see those things. And so our works become what? A testimony unto God. Wow. One of our ladies the other day came to me and she was telling me about a woman that I believe was a neighbor. And she was telling how that on an occasion she had this horrible thought about God. And basically, if I understood what her thought was, so many people this way, they want to blame God for stuff. You know, Aunt Susie died and so they're upset with God. That why would a loving God let Aunt Susie die? Because Aunt Susie was a sinner? No, in their mind Aunt Susie was perfect. And so they have this bad mental image, you know. And so she asked somebody and they simply said this. They said, "I don't know. But why don't you just let God be God?" She said that little remark changed her life. Well, think about that. A little remark like that changed her life. She got to thinking about it. Let God be God. Hadn't been going to church, started going to church. Don't know if she's saved, don't know anything about that. But I thought, that's an interesting thought. They had heard somebody else. They'd seen their life, and it had done something to them and bringing glory to God, one who had something against God. Think about this. In John chapter 15, verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified." Are you listening? "Herein is my Father glorified." Here's how God gets honored. And He goes on to tell us how that is. And it's very simple, that ye bear much fruit. When we bear fruit. You say, what are you talking about fruit? Well, we could put it in two categories, and I relate two of them together. You go to the book of Galatians, and you find there in Galatians chapter number 5 that there are the fruit of the Spirit. When you and I get saved, and the Spirit of God comes to live within us, He begins to produce something in our lives that was never there before. The first three of those is love, joy, and peace. God produces it. By the way, when you read that text there, it says fruit, not fruits. So all nine of those are being worked into our lives. That's the Holy Spirit of God doing that in our lives. When those things begin to develop in our lives, it can also help us in what some other folks call fruits of people getting saved. Because your change in your life and your love and your concern and those kinds of things, what? It speaks to the hearts of other folk. But our fruitfulness is going to what? Bring forth a glorification of God. Because it shows forth the power of the Holy Spirit to change. You and I will never change outside of the force of the Spirit of God. We have to have that. But that will bring honor to God when that is being seen. Here's another thought for you that it brings honor to God. This is interesting. In Romans 15:6, it says this, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. With one mind and with one mouth, glorify Him. And so I would just simply say it like this. You and I can bring honor to God when we have a unity amongst ourselves. Roseanne, if you and I are fighting, we're just hollering and bickering at each other all the time, is that bringing glory to God? No. But when we can get along, that can bring glory to God. And she's easy to get along with. Well, today,
I couldn't let it go.
No, seriously, she's an easy one to get along with. Most folks in our church are. Why is that? What causes that? By the way, that again is the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen. But as you have those fruit developments, I have those fruit developing, and you and I, we're coming together. We don't have our minds and our hearts set upon ourselves. We can bring honor to Him. Wow, our unity. Let me express to you an area that I think is wonderful in a church that shows unity and brings glory to God. That's when we're singing. We can all lift our voices up together. And what a beautiful sound that is. Now, granted, you get one of us and put the microphone, it might really mess things up. But we can unite our voices together and it can bring glory to God. Nothing like congregational singing. And sometimes I almost like it once in a while when we don't have a pianist because I can really hear you. Especially where I sit at all the time because normally the biggest noise I hear is Sean, and well, let me rephrase that, is the piano, and then I hear Sean singing. But I could hear folks. And boy, what does that do to a lost person? They come to church and they see everybody singing and they got a nice expression. By the way, it's kind of hard to sing with a smile. Amazing grace. I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to sing with a smile, but you can have a smiling heart. Amen. What does that do? And what a testimony that brings honor to Him and glorifies Him. Oh, good night. It's a great area. And yet there's always those that just sit there. It's like, I can't be blessed and I dare you to try. You know? I don't know what their deal is. But unity amongst the brethren. Here's a thought for you. We used the verse a while ago. You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Bring honor to God through your consecration. In other words, you are giving Him your everything. I read the book of Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present what? Your bodies. Your bodies. Have you ever noticed where your body goes, the rest of you goes? We're kind of tied to it. Your spirit is with your body. I mean, once in a while I run into a weird person that says, I had an out-of-body experience. I've known people who had out-of-their-mind experiences, but I've never truly known somebody out-of-body experience, honestly. We are made up as a tripartite being. We're body, soul, and spirit. And so if we're going to give our bodies, the rest of us is going to be there. God wants that out of our lives, and it brings glory to Him. Glorify Him in your body. When the fruit of the Spirit are seen and the works of the flesh are thrown aside, what glory that brings to God. Consider this thought, believing prayer. John 14:13 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When you and I, just simply because we pray to Him, you know what prayer means? Prayer means I'm depending upon somebody to do something I can't do. I can't handle this, and I need someone to help me with it. And so we pray to God, and it's showing our dependence upon Him, and that brings Him glory, that gives Him glory. And when we have confidence in that, because we've asked Him, we believe, hey, He is going to take care of it, that brings Him glory. Brings honor to His name. How do we honor God? Praying. And I mentioned it a while ago, but let me say it again, with our singing. The book of Psalms, great, great hymn book it is. But it tells us in the Word of God, in Romans 10, or 12, excuse me, chapter 15, verse 9, says, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Going to glorify God for His mercy. And then he goes on and says those words. And we bring glory to God through our singing. What is our singing? Most of the time we sing because we're happy inside. Amen. I agree with Doctor. Certain kinds of music I don't like. I've lost it. Is it bluegrass? Doc believes it's bluegrass because blue means it's blues. It's not happy songs. I don't believe that the so-called music that is, you know, going through all the dredges of the world and crying and moaning is really music. But for the Christian, it's something that springs up within because there is this wonder of God. And it brings forth songs like, how great thou art. What a day that will be when my Jesus I will see. Rock of ages, cleft for me. And these things begin to come forth. Have you ever done like a little kid? You ever listen to little kids sing? I mean, they just start making stuff up. I'm going to the park today. I'm going to wash away. I don't even know. They just got all these things they do. Have you ever done that out of your own? The thoughts that are on your mind, it might not be poetic, but you're just singing to Him. Other folks might think you're weird. And to another Christian, they probably understand that too. But with music, that song in our heart, and singing to Him, how can we bring glory to God? Our words, our actions, how we get along with each other, our prayers, through the fruitfulness of our lives, being concentrated unto Him, the unity we have with each other. These are ways we can bring honor to God. Does He deserve it? Yes. Yes. We bring honor to God when we're willing to simply trust Him for our salvation. You can't bring honor to God when you say, no, I don't want your gift. I don't want your salvation. I don't need you. But when we will believe Him, it brings honor to God. Amen. Let's go to Him in prayer tonight. Father, thank You so much. First of all, that You are so worthy. From our text and context, we find because of Your holiness that brings about judgment. The realization of how perfect You are, how wondrous You are. Lord, we pray that as we go from day to day, that we might recognize these areas of our lives that ought to be bringing honor to You. So often, Lord, though we're seeking our own glory, we're seeking for folks to honor us, and we get all bent out of shape because of it. God, forgive us. God, help us to be as You would wish us to be, to lift You up, to bring honor and glory to Your name, and let You do with us as You seem fit. God, work in hearts and lives tonight, and bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.